Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 176 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Scott, I saw so many things at the pool party this past week that could be on the stage, you know what I mean?
Did you say thongs that you saw or things?
Things. Well, I saw thongs too.
Oh, lucky.
I will say this, I love Vegas.
Vegas rules, dude. Did you take your one gun?
No, dude, I couldn't take it on the plane.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. TSA tends to grab those so they can go use them at their local gentlemen's establishments.
Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we have no news.
None. Zero. Zip. Zilch.
We have Justin Pickard's Pick'em Contest. Justin will be announcing the winner of the Pickard's Pick'em Contest. And then we are also announcing the Good Brother giveaway that is going to happen for next week's show. So stay tuned. We do have Figure Friday, Scott. We've got nostalgia. We've got a listener segment. And then we're going to round it out with Who Did It Better. So stay tuned for Who We Did Better. That sounds so wrong.
That you phrased that horribly, dude. Horribly. Would you like to try that one again?
No, I'll do better one week.
I doubt it. But hey, I just want to warn you. If I slip into a food coma during the show, just shout really loud to wake me up. I had In-N-Out Burger for dinner. So I might into a food coma. So I did a double-double, and I did it protein style with extra pickle. And for those not familiar with In-N-Out's protein style, it's basically your burger wrapped in lettuce. Everybody's kind of doing it. Now, I actually prefer the flavor of it. It's definitely not for health reasons, because let me tell you what I also did there, Jeff. I can't stand In-N-Out French fries. They're gross.
Terrible.
Yeah, the worst. So right next door to In-N-Out, literally right next door, is McDonald's. But to get to McDonald's from In-N-Out, you have to pull out of the parking lot. I said pull out. You have to pull out of the parking lot of In-N-Out and basically U-turn it into the parking lot of McDonald's. So that's what I affectionately call, Jeff, the fat boy U-turn, because I do it every time I go to In-N-Out Burger. I won't eat their fries. So every time I go, I pull the fat boy U-turn, go to McDonald's, get a couple of large fries, and head home. So double-double, protein style, extra pickle, and a large french fries sitting in the belly right now. So again, if I slip into that food coma, just yell really loud. I'll probably wake up.
So do you have to like Dukes of Hazzard it over the median?
No. Nothing crazy like that, dude. Nothing crazy like that. It's going from one parking lot to the next, just the fat boy U-turn. Good to go. But, you know, I've got a Bang Peach Mango sitting in the belly, and it's kind of brawling right now with In-N-Out, like, who's going to win? It's like the mega powers in my stomach. So we'll see who wins out. I'm either going to stay awake and be super alert, or by like, who did it better, I'm going to be completely passed out. So we're going to see how this goes.
You're going to be like, screw the guy. Let's just wrap it up.
Yeah, I usually try to go light. You know, before a show, I'm like not trying to eat too much, but dude, In-N-Out Burger, come on, man.
Everyone, head on over to ProWrestlingTees or WhatAManeuver.net. Pick up any of our past t-shirts. You can pick up the Slang In It t-shirt, the Bulldogs of British t-shirt, any of the Cardback t-shirts, any of them at all. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, any of them at all on Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes. Like this week, it comes in from Dr. Nick 1985. Scott, you know who Dr. Nick is, right?
I am loving how we're getting these Simpsons references lately.
I do too.
We had the SNES Chalmers from a couple weeks ago, and now we've got Dr. Nick. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
I love it.
This one says, Fig Life for Life gave us sweet 5 stars. Says, great podcast, very informative and fun to listen to. Been a collector since 1989 and love hearing the stories and toy spotting pickups. Keep up the great work. Dr. Nick, 1985. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Nick. So, Jeff, if he's been a collector since 89, that would be the tail end of LJN and right on the cusp of Hasbro. I wonder what his preference is. Dr. Nick, please reach out to us on Twitter. Let us know which way, because you are right there in between the two biggest lines ever, in my opinion. And I'm kind of wondering where your loyalties lie on that one. Jeff and I are like 1 in 1A, LJN and Hasbro. So I'm kind of wondering, an 89 beginner, where do your loyalties lie on that one?
We need follow-up.
Yes, we need answers.
Thank you for sending that in. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, last week we announced that Justin Pickard had a special giveaway, an Alexander Wolf giveaway, for a special listener, a lucky listener, who is going to win Pickard's Pick'em. So, to announce the winner, we talked to Justin last night. So let's get into it. Welcome Justin Pickard to the show. Justin, how are you doing down in Fresno?
Pretty good. Actually, I'm in Paso Robles, which is just about an hour west of Fresno. So weather-wise, we've been kind of in that weird California spell here, but we're 2 weeks away from graduation at the high school I work at, and loving life.
Nice. So you mean you're about to get hit with about 110 degree weather?
Pretty much. That's kind of how it works down here. You know, we went with a really weird rain heavy year, which is very unique for California over the last decade.
Yep.
To being traditional California weather, back to being the weird rainy weather in the middle of May. So along with that weird weather also brought a nice little string of sicknesses for my students. So I'm hopefully making this a minor little cold. But yeah, other than that, just loving life down here.
So, Justin, you are donating a Alexander Wolf.
Correct. New Inbox Elite from Target.
And this is a fun little game, or I shouldn't say game, but drawing giveaway. Where did you find this? Obviously, it was at a Target, but going back a few months, you and I and Scott were all supposed to meet up at a San Jose Toy Show. Unfortunately, timing didn't work out so well. But you mentioned on your way back down home to Paso Robles, you hit, what'd you say, about seven targets?
Yeah, there's just slightly north of us, there's not a whole lot of action going on. But basically from Salinas up to San Jose, I probably went to about six or seven targets total. And the only thing that I was seeing in terms of chase figures, or at least remnants, was one target in Salinas had a little bit of the Pete Dunne wave, just minus Pete Dunne, obviously.
Right.
So it was looking pretty lean. And this is kind of something that, as I travel in California doing various student conferences or competitions, sometimes I'll drop by and see what I can find at a local Target or something like that. It's kind of a continued issue that I see, is that we have very limited supply of what we have. And what we have is older inventory. And so I don't know if it's just something like that I notice in my area, but for instance, Walmart especially is horrible at this. They'll buy a tremendous amount of inventory once in 6 months that just shelf rots. And, you know, you're talking like the last one with the WrestleMania display. There's probably eight cases of Elite figures. They're probably going to legitimately sell in my town a case and a half, and I'm going to buy the whole case, you know, the one solid full case.
Uh-huh.
So the rest of it just sits there for another 6 months until they go through their process of, oh, it's about time we clearance this stuff, just in time for the next store display, in which they're going to overpurchase and we're not going to see anything new. So with Target, because they don't order as much, but we were kind of seeing the same thing here, I decided that, you know, with these store exclusives, I was going to take and purchase what I didn't need, leave it in box. I'm not a tamper or anything like that. I don't condone that at all. But then just return it to other Targets that are outside of my area and watch the Pop Finder system to see if it has an effect. And what I found, especially with the Pete Dunne the first time, is it did work. And it actually worked in a pretty timely manner with the Pete Dunne. But after the first Alexander Wolf, there was a weird lag time in the Pop Finder system. I wasn't 100% sure if it's Pop Finder or Target, but it didn't register the purchases that I made to clear that last case out. So it did lag a little bit. It was basically just a decision that I'm going to have to take this collecting thing into my own hands to be able to get the figures that I want. And then when I realized it does in fact work and there's nobody else who's really purchasing them in my area, I now realize I can help others out as well.
So where exactly did you find this one Alexander Wolf?
I've been working out of my own local Target here in Paso Robles.
Gotcha. So we got a lot of entries for this giveaway. Am I not mistaken? If I'm not mistaken.
Nope, you're correct. We had 60 people.
Nice. So What you are going to do is you are going to throw the name into a random generator, or the names, I should say, into a random generator.
We have a name. The winner of the Elite Alexander Wolf is Luke at I Fought a Lion on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Scott does figure photography. He drops his name all the time. Whoa.
Absolutely. So it's definitely going to the member of the Fig Life.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm happy for Luke. That's great.
Congratulations, Luke.
That is awesome. And Justin, I do have to hit you with a surprise question.
Okay, shoot.
Top five favorite figures of all time.
Oof. WrestleMania Elite Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 14.
Okay.
The face scan on that is killer. Why they haven't reused that, I have no clue. DM Macho Man from the WrestleMania 7 attire. This one's going to be tough. And going back to the Hall of Fame this year, it's a new one, but that Nia Jax figure from Mattel is pretty remarkable in terms of a female face scan. I know there's other people who are really rooting on the Ruby Riott, but you can't take away from that Nia Jax. So I'm going to go with those three Mattel. One that's going to be kind of out there, a little bit different, just picked up the High Flyers Greg Gagne with his actual ring attire jacket. I have the Gagne's Raiders version, but going back to that High Flyers, I think that's just a little bit more of an iconic look for him. So I'm going to go with Greg on that one. That's kind of one of those that when I started getting into collecting of wrestling figures, there was no way that owning a Greg Gagne figure was ever going to be on my checklist. But once I started watching AWA and really appreciating the Remco line, thanks to your guys' podcast, that one jumps out there as one of my favorites in my collection.
Uh-huh.
And then the last one is going to be with the classic Macho Man Hasbro. There's just no way that you can dispute when you think wrestling figure that you cannot think of that figure.
Two of those figures just hit our Hall of Fame too.
Absolutely. They're great ones. I agreed with this year's class 100%.
The Nia Jax, we've mentioned this 1,000 times, but the one with the pink braids, the face on it is just so, it's so lifelike. And we said this before, it's scary good. Just the realism in it is just insane. You just look at it, you're like, okay, I'm going to put this down because this is too good.
And I know a lot of people have said it, but if that head scan could have been on the figure and the packaging, that would have been my only change to the fit. And it's not even changing the figure. It's just changing the way that it's packaged and is on display. Because I think the Mint on Card collectors, if it had been that minor switch, oh man, it's just out of this universe home run. But no, I agree. That's a phenomenal figure. And the other face scan on it that I thought was pretty good was the head sculpt is the same, but with the new face printing technology, the straight haired version of Nia Jax turned out much better than the previously done versions of her.
The one where her hair is kind of down to the left side.
Correct.
Yeah. That one's also really good. I can't say enough good things about that figure overall. It seems like the figure's in scale too. It's a home run figure from top to bottom. All three head scans are good. Now I do have to ask about your Remco collection. Are you having fun with it?
I am having a lot of fun with it. The only thing, and this is just kind of one of those wait and see type of a thing. The Remco collection for me is kind of like when I started collecting vinyl records. I'm not one that actively tries to seek out stuff when it comes to collecting vinyl records. If I happen to see something in a antique store or a thrift store and it happens to be kind of my genre, I will get it. So my Remco stuff, I kind of take the same mentality with it, with the exception of the High Flyers. And then I am actively looking for a Nick Bockwinkel that's just in phenomenal condition. But really, the only issue I'm having with it is when I got that Remco ring and it's the 100% cardboard version, being so, it's like brand new. It was pretty much just right out of the package. And I had to verify that with the seller. The ring ropes are not stretched at all. But when you put the ring ropes on the posts with that cardboard ring, it wants to suck everything in.
Yep.
And I'm worried that it's going to throw it out of, you know, its correct alignment. So I haven't figured out a way to display it. If anything, I have, you know, a pretty much brand new canvas that I love the look of that AWA logo, that kind of vintage look for a toy. It's dated. You know, you can definitely see the time frame that it was produced in. But to me, that's just so iconic. It goes back to some of my childhood memories of different toy lines. And they may not have been the best toys, but when I think about the packaging, or I think about the logos, or I think about the look of it, that's what I appreciate the most of. And seeing that AWA ring, even though I don't put the ropes on it, that's exactly what I think of when I see it.
The canvas is beautiful that they put on that too, because it's like you said, it captures that memory of AWA watching, or for at least us watching AWA on ESPN, and seeing that logo right in the middle and with the brown canvas. Ah, it's so great. I can't say enough good things about that canvas. The rest of the ring with the whoops and the cardboard, okay, it is what it is. You know, it was good for the times and for those types of figures. But at the same time, I mean, it's memorable.
And it's kind of neat to see how they evolved with their rings. I didn't realize that there were as many variations to it. So with the Battle Royal playsets that came with different types of figures, I think there was two or three versions of the Battle Royal with different figures that came with it. Those were primarily your cardboard rings, 100% cardboard. The single pack rings were the ones that were that composite board that were like stapled and glued together. But then when they hit that cage match,
yep,
and it was an all plastic ring, I know it kind of goes away from the look of the canvas, but the evolution that Remco did, it goes back to what you guys have talked about many times about that line really ended when they hit their stride. And it's just such a bummer because if they could have gone another couple of years, oh, to see what they could have produced, I think is just amazing.
If they would have gone a few more years, we would have gotten a few more guys in that line. And unfortunately, it ended when it did. I mean, at least we got the Midnight Rockers. That's cool. We got Zukov. We got that last Matt Mania line, and it was great. Justin, I want to thank you for doing this because this also kicked off June giveaway month. You brought this to the table. You said, I want to do this for the community. And that got me thinking, okay, let's do this once a week, every week in June. So I want to thank you for doing this for us and putting this on and kind of getting my brain moving a little bit.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be a part of it. Very happy to be a part of the Fig Life family, the Fig Life community. And hopefully this, got some more attention to doing some positive things as a group. I know there's a lot of people that do a lot of great things, and I kind of wanted to be able to give back to those individuals and give a shout to a shot at a figure that some people are having a hard time trying to obtain.
Yeah, but I do want to thank you. Next week, we will be having a good brother be giving away something. So, Luke, congratulations. And thanks, Justin.
Hey, thank you.
So congratulations to Luke on winning Justin Pickard's Pick'em contest. Congrats, man. You just won yourself an Alexander Wolf. And also, it means a lot that Justin would donate to the show like that and run the contest like he did. And we thank him a lot.
Big congrats to Luke. And big thanks, huge thanks to Justin for donating that figure for the giveaway.
The next giveaway comes from Good Brother Mike. It's the Good Brother giveaway. One, follow Fully Posable, that's us, and Good Brother Mike at MJGIV79. Like and retweet the tweet that is pinned to his profile and reply with the answer to, when we were little, and I say we, Scott and Jeff, what toy did Jeff throw at Scott when Scott was going to tell on Jeff? Actually, I bashed you in the back of the head with it.
You son of a bitch.
Contest ends June 5th. So mark that on your calendars. It's going to end, and we are going to announce the winner next week. Scott, Figure Friday comes in from at Essential Show. He did, it's not actually a figure, it is a custom New York Yankees ring. I pulled this one for you, dude.
It's the best looking ring I've ever seen in my life. Gorgeous.
You're talking about the fully posable ring is the best looking ring.
I don't want to put myself over too much with that one. I think I prefer the Yankees one.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, they're on equal ground, equal footing. I love them both.
So what he did is he took a Hasbro ring, or the new Mattel retro ring, put the pinstripes of the New York Yankees and the New York Yankees logo right in the middle, red, white, and blue ropes. Looks really good. So it's not a figure, it's a ring. So great job on that. He's at Essential Show. Great work. Scott, did you do any toy spotting?
The only toy spotting I did was Big Lots. And surprise, surprise, they have in Top Talent Basics. Just when we thought that Walmart hadn't overstocked Top Talents, they showed up at Big Lots. Not the Elites, just the basics. They had AJ and Roman. I think they had like one Cena. No elites to report at Big Lots, but I was hoping to score a Ty Dillinger because he's going to be wrestling for AEW. I should say Sean Spears. It's going to be not for AEW, for APW in, I believe, July. It could even be June.
June 15th.
June 15th. Thank you. So apparently you're going. You already knew about this.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm kind of on the hunt for a Ty Dillinger figure. And Boogeyman is going to be appearing at Dave & Buster's in Milpitas. Did you know about this, Jeff?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Of all places, he's going to be at Dave & Buster's in Milpitas, scaring the children, eating worms, you know, doing Boogeyman things. So I'm on the hunt also for a Boogeyman Elite. So Ty Dillinger Elite and a Boogeyman Elite. I'm on the hunt. And unfortunately, our local Big Lots had nothing. Well, they had Top Talent Basics, but that's it.
Our toy spotting is going to be much, much better next week as you and I are headed to San Jose Toy Show this Saturday. Actually, when the show drops, it'll be yesterday. But you and I are heading out there on Saturday. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, dude. And the way our collecting lately has been skewing has been more towards older figures, kind of filling in holes in the collection. So hopefully we find some cool stuff. I know the last time we went there a couple months ago, you were big time on the hunt for some Hasbros, and they had quite a few. I'm really hoping to maybe get some UK Galoobs if somebody shows up with those. But the demand on wrestling figures has definitely gone up, so I'm hoping to see a bigger selection of wrestling figures. It was pretty good last time. I'm hoping for a bigger selection this time. So, yeah, good luck to us. I hope it's a better toy spotting segment next week.
I went to a Target. Actually, I went to a few Targets, nothing. So I'm going to skip past my toy spotting this week, because the editor was supposed to sit in, but she's got a bad cold, so she's sitting this one out. But she went to StarCast this past Saturday. She left Friday night to go to Vegas, dropped her off at the Oakland airport. I went toy spotting and then came home, finished up the show, and then dropped the show. Next day, woke up at 6:30, went to Alana's graduation. Dude, I felt like a parent, dude. I was so proud of her.
Really? I already kicked her out.
Oh, you graduated. Okay, now we have to have the talk of you leaving.
Yeah, now it's real life. Get out. No, it was a great day, dude. It was really funny because you were mentioning how Bane was talking about his, what was his niece's graduation that he went to?
I think it was his son, his stepson.
Okay, he went to his graduation. Basically, you sit around for like 2 hours, 3 hours, and you're literally waiting for that one moment where they announce the name so you can get a huge pop, and then you sit back down. So it's a bunch of like blobbity blobbity blah, talk, talk, talk. And you're just waiting on them to announce that one name, and then they do it and you pop, and it's just your little group of people there that pop. And then that's it. But dude, the best part was that graduation only went for an hour and a half.
Made it super easy for me to catch my flight to Vegas that day.
Yeah, there was no crazy like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make my plane. It started at 9 and they told the kids it was going to be a 3 hour show. Dude, it was like an hour and a half and it was done. And there was like no announcement of, hey, thanks for coming. It was like they handed the last diploma and cleared the stage. They were like gone. They're like, we're getting on with our Saturday. But yeah, it was a great day. She's graduated. I'm super proud of her. Now real life smacks her in the face, and that kind of sucks.
Well, that's what a lot of these speakers were saying is, you know, today's a great day, but tomorrow you guys now have to look forward to the future. You've got college and all that stuff. I'm like, holy crap, they have no idea what's coming.
Oh, dude, yeah, welcome to the life of part-time jobs and fitting in school and dealing with a beater car, and oh, yeah, welcome to it.
I was so happy for Alana. Took off, got to my flight on time. Everything was great. Touchdown in Vegas, but while we were at the graduation, Celeste was at StarCast, and so she got to go. She went up to Ted DiBiase, I believe, first. She got one of those card cases signed, and she got it signed in yellow, and it looked fantastic, dude.
That yellow really pops off the green DiBiase, dude. That looks fantastic.
Well, the best thing about it was I was trying to decide which DiBiase I was going to put in, and I was like, do I put in green? Do I put in the black tuxedo? Do I put in just the regular one? And I said, well, I never was a fan of the regular one except for the head on it. I thought the head looked great. But I said, which one am I going to put in? I ended up going with the green tuxedo. And so I'm happy with it. Now I want to get all the card cases. In fact, to kind of jump forward a little bit, we stopped off at StarCast on Sunday, and I wasn't expecting going there on Sunday, but Celeste surprised me. She goes, oh, we're going to go to StarCast. We're going to hang out with James, Frank, and Shannon. I was like, oh, sweet. So we go to StarCast and Rikishi's sitting there. And all I could think in my head was, one, I have a Hall of Champions figure for you to sign. And two, I have a card case for you to sign.
Dude, you didn't have any more card cases though, huh?
No.
Oh, damn it. Oh, dude, that sucks.
Tell me about it. I was sitting there and I was like, oh man, I have some card cases. So, and also we were talking to X-Pac because James Frank is on X-Pac's show. So we're talking to X-Pac and I'm like, I have a 1-2-3 kid I wish I could get signed.
Dude, that's two Hasbros that you could have cased and had autographed.
I know, I know. Anyways, on Saturday, she went and got Ted DiBiase's autograph. She's holding the card case. She goes over to the Rock and Roll Express. And usually when guys are hitting on Celeste, she's oblivious to it. Like, she has no sensory that guys are hitting on her. She's like, yeah, I could tell Ricky Morton was hitting. But what's cool is Celeste got to hold the Hall of Fame ring. Ricky Morton let her hold the Hall of Fame ring and put it on and everything. I was like, oh man. I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous. But she got the Rock and Roll Express 2-pack, Jack's Classic 2-pack, re-signed in a blue paint pen, and it looks amazing. So I'm going to kind of rewind a little bit for people that didn't know or didn't see. I had the Jack's Classic 2-pack originally signed by the Rock and Roll Express, but they signed it in black Sharpie. It always bugged me that they signed in black Sharpie over their black outfits. And that autograph just always bugged me. I have a few other autographs that are similar. So I was like, you know what? I'm wiping the autograph off. It's bugging me. I want to get it re-signed. So one night I talked to Hova. Hova said he used Goo Gone and some elbow grease to get the autograph off, the Sharpie autograph. So I went and purchased some Goo Gone at Walmart. I get home, I spray the Goo Gone on, let it do its stuff. I go to wipe it off. The autographs aren't coming off.
Oh.
So I was thinking, I was like, what am I going to do? And I was like, you know what? I've got a magic eraser. I'm going to give this a shot. I bust out the magic eraser. Dude, it wiped off the Sharpie autographs just like that.
Really? So it took it right off?
Took it right off. There was no elbow grease. Literally, I wet the magic eraser, put it on the Jack's Classic 2-pack, and boom. Beautiful. Looks fantastic, dude.
Wow.
So it was like a flat, clean bubble. Like, it never had any autograph ever on it.
Wow. So there you go. Anybody that's looking to redo their autographs with paint pens, you want to get away from the Sharpies and redo it with a paint pen? Magic eraser. There it is, Jeff.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, because Kevin Nash, I believe, is coming around here soon.
Well, there's a rumor he's going to be at Stockton Con, but we haven't gotten confirmation on that yet.
So she got that signed in a blue paint pen. So then she goes over to Colt Cabana, because whenever we see Colt at a StarCast or a WrestleCon or any show, we always got to get something from Colt merch.table.
Mark.
I know, dude. I know.
Colt's an awesome guy, though, dude. I do the same thing.
But it's cool because Colt recognizes Celeste all the time now.
Of course he does. You're just another Mark. But oh, here comes his girlfriend. Yeah, step on up. Hey, hello, pretty lady.
So the funny thing is so she goes up and she goes, we have mostly everything of yours. And he goes, I have a new microballer. And Celeste goes, oh, cool, I'm going to get that. And he goes, do you want me to autograph it? And she goes, yes, please. So he signs it. But then he looks over at the card case she's holding of Ted DiBiase's autograph. He takes off the card case and he puts his microbrawler inside and puts the card case back on.
Oh, that's hilarious. So wait. He handled the signed DiBiase case?
He handled it gently.
Good man. Good man.
He knows. He knows the fig life.
Yeah, he knew that was like $40. He gets it.
So anyways, Celeste had to get Travis Fowler's King Haku figure, Jack's Classic figure, signed. So she gets in the line and Haku is in there with the Gorillas of Destiny. So the line is super long and not moving because a lot of people are in line for Gorillas of Destiny. So she's standing there and she's like, I wish there was a way I could just go up and get Haku. But Haku was also doing pictures with Gorillas of Destiny, so she couldn't really cut in line or anything. So she finally gets up there. Haku signs. He has a pretty signature. He signs King Haku across the bubble. But before he did, he said, is this pen ready to go? And she goes, yes. Let me rewind. I don't know if it was Haku that said it or a handler. And they said, is this pen ready to go? And she said, yes. So when he went to sign, it dripped right on the bubble.
Oh, no.
There was this huge, huge glob of paint just right on the bubble. And on top of that, after he signed it, it smeared.
Oh, Travis was going to be pissed, dude.
So Celeste goes, this isn't good. And I was like, oh, I wish there was something we could do. Magic erase, you know.
Yeah. But
So she goes back to the hotel room and she got one of those things that women take their mascara and everything off with, those wipes.
Makeup wipe?
Yeah, I think it was a makeup wipe. She started going across the bubble and it took it right off.
Not a dude wipe, right? Not a dude wipe. It was a makeup wipe.
It was a makeup wipe.
Do you know what a dude wipe is, Jeff?
No, I have no idea. What is that?
Really? Okay. So I've seen them at Walmart. I'm pretty sure that most places sell them. It is so a man can use these wipes because it says dude on it. So it's clearly made for men. And it's the equivalent, I guess, of a baby wipe. And it actually comes in like a black bag that has a pop top, just like baby wipes. And you take it out and you can wipe your nether regions and be fresh as a daisy. Or as fresh as a can of Axe body spray? I don't know. But it's called a dude wipe.
Isn't that what bidets are for?
Oh, God. No. What? No. No. Don't put over your bidet on the show, dude. That's not what this show's for.
Oh, it's not for that.
No. But for the record, how many bidets do you own, Jeff?
Two.
You don't have one in your master bath?
No.
You're kidding.
No. Oh. Because, you know, if you... You know, you drop a deuce in your master bath, the smell will sometimes come out. You don't want that to happen. You want it to stay in the bathroom that's furthest away. So all of our deuces usually go on in the other bathroom.
Oh, that's smart. Okay, I never thought about that. I'm going to start using Alana's bathroom for all my deuces.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do with that for a while. I'm going to go back to bed.
And get a bidet. So Celeste got one of those makeup wipes and wiped it right off, and it looks great. It looks like nothing was ever there. So she was able to save it, and we got that mailed back to Travis. So
nice. It cleaned up good, dude. She sent me the pictures. It cleaned up really, really nice. I saw the before and afters. Great job.
And the Rock and Roll Express signed in a blue paint pen. I'm so happy with it, dude. I was so disappointed in that autograph because you never saw it unless it was along the upper torso area of Ricky Morton, because Robert Gibson signed along a black part of the packaging.
Yeah.
So you never saw the autographs, and it always drove me nuts. And I have two other autographs that are like that. One of them is the Hart Foundation Deluxe Classic that I can never get re-signed. So it is what it is. And another one, I believe, is a Bret Hart one that I can probably wipe that one off with the Magic Erase and get that re-signed. But anyways, I'm going to be doing this a lot more because the Sharpie autographs on certain figures just didn't work. John Morrison, that's the other one, John Morrison autograph.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On one of his earlier elites that just didn't come out good. So I'm going to redo that one also.
Yeah, mine's the same. I know which one you're talking about. But dude, it's that gamble of wiping off a signature. What if the guy cancels? Like, that is like my biggest fear with doing that. It worked out for you this time on the Rock and Roll Express. But I'm just afraid if you play that card too often, you're going to get a guy that cancels and you've already magic erased the signature off. And then you're stuck. So what's worse, having a black autograph over a black part of the packaging that you can't really see, or just straight up not having the signature anymore?
It's the gamble I take, dude.
Oh, well, okay. So here's something to think about on the Hart Foundation. So if you do magic, because you have a couple of Neidhart signatures, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what if you do with your Jax Classic 2-pack of the Hart Foundation what I did with my Road Warriors 2-pack Classic Superstars, where you have animals sign over... Like, I had Animal sign over Hawk, have Brett write, like, HOF, what they just went in this year, right? 2019? HOF 2019 over the anvil, and then sign his portion of the figure in nice, bright paint pen. Maybe something like that, since you already have anvil signatures. That might not be a bad thing.
That's one I'm going to have to sit back and think about. That one's tough, dude. Wiping off a signature from someone who has passed away is hard, so... I don't know. I'd have to take that one into consideration.
Yeah, just something to think about. But man, I'm just worried if you play that card too often, dude, it's going to burn you. A guy's going to cancel, and then, because you know we don't get a lot of autograph signings here on the West Coast, so it's a huge gamble for us. Or even you traveling to signings like StarCast, it's still a huge gamble because, I mean, like Ric Flair, for example, had to cancel on StarCast. So imagine you had wiped off one of his signatures and you're like, oh crap, when am I going to see Ric Flair again? Like, that's just, it's a huge gamble. Just freaks me out.
Or what I could do is just take the figure and the morning of wipe off the signature.
Yeah, shoot, I'd be tempted to do it in line. Like, I see him there, he's signing, okay, signature's coming off. Dude, that's a good way to market fully posable magic erasers, though. Like, you're standing in line. Look what I'm doing, guys. Redoing a signature. Get your fully posable magic erasers. Yeah, before you know it, we're going to be KISS. The KISS of podcasts.
I'm editing that out because I don't want anybody to take that idea.
Branded magic erasers, yeah.
So anyways, that was her done at StarCast. I didn't want to send her or overload her with everything. She could have gotten so many more card cases signed. Billy Gunn was supposed to be there Sunday. I didn't think we were going, so I didn't bring any extra card cases.
Oh.
Billy Gunn, I didn't see him there Sunday.
Okay.
But I'm happy with the autographs. I felt so relieved that the Rock and Roll Express got redone because it just looks 1,000 times better.
And plus, it's your favorite tag team of all time, dude. You should have a nice signature of those guys somewhere up on the wall. So at least now you have one that you're proud of, and it does look great, dude. Congrats on that.
Thanks, man. So anyways, my flight touched down at 3:15. I got to the MGM Grand at, I think it was like 3:45. And thanks to Ray at BCRay27 on Twitter, he let me come up in line. He was like, dude, just come up here, man. He goes, hang out. So anyways, I met up with him in line. And it was interesting walking by the pool parties with all the wrestling fans. That was interesting.
Wait, wrestling fans at pool parties?
Not at pool parties, but the line going right by the pool parties. That was interesting.
Oh, so they had pool parties going on, but you could see them from your line?
Yeah.
Huh.
The pool parties were literally to our right.
Oh, okay. But there was like nobody walking by you. You were just like ogling at the pool parties, right?
No, there were people walking by.
People? Are those the things that you saw in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, I'm sure that they love that.
They made the wrestling fans happy. That's like when we went to NOLA back in WrestleMania 30, and all these bachelorette parties that were staying on Bourbon Street, walking out to go enjoy the nightlife, and there are about 70,000 wrestling fans on Bourbon Street that are chanting yes and dropping elbows on puddles and Lord knows what else.
Yeah, we're like the line in that Beastie Boys song, step into the party, disrupt the whole scene. That was wrestling fans at 30, dude, for sure.
The mortified looks on their faces, dude, was just classic.
Oh, I love it.
So anyways, went to the show. Show was great.
To put it mildly, yes, the show was great.
I had a great time. This isn't a wrestling podcast. We don't talk wrestling, but I would just say I had a good time. It was fun. I will say this, dude, because you and I being brothers, when Cody hit that line, I don't need a partner, I need my older brother, and his voice cracked.
Ah, see? Yeah, you're getting me right now, dude.
Dude, I was sitting there and I'm like, who's cutting onions?
Man, not only was it an emotional, powerful, fantastic match, but the after promo. And I read where people were like, oh, I saw that coming a mile away. It doesn't matter. Sometimes there's still magic in it, even if you see it coming, which I personally did not, because I didn't know that they were going to have a match scheduled with the Young Bucks at the next show. But dude, much like you, I was fine right up until Cody's voice cracked. And then that immediately got me. And I turned around because I was watching the pay-per-view with a couple of dudes. And I turn around and look, and like, a couple of my friends are like wiping their eyes, and I'm like, me too. it was so powerful. It was such a great moment, and it was genuine. And oh, dude, that easily my favorite part of the whole broadcast was that moment.
It was match of the night because, don't get me wrong, I loved the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros match. That match was just insane. It was so much fun.
It was fun, yes. Good word.
I mean, I do love a good storytelling in the match. That's why Cody and Dustin was my favorite match of the night, because of the storytelling in that match. But the Lucha Bros and Young Bucks match was so much fun. I loved every minute of it. I know people were like, oh, you know, no selling, all that stuff. Look, it's 2019. That's the way a lot of wrestling goes nowadays. And I have fun with it.
It was fun. That's the best way to describe it, dude. I think that's the perfect word, is that match was just fun. Where you got like a heavy emotional match, a brutal match with Cody and Dustin. You got the flip side of that with the Young Bucks. And that's what I liked about the show, was the variety of the matches on the card. And again, I enjoyed it. This isn't a wrestling podcast. I'll just say, like you, Jeff, I really, really enjoyed the show, and I'm looking forward to their next show. And that's what I'm liking about wrestling and wrestling figures in 2019. I know I've said it before, but the variety that's out there now, it's a good time to be a fan of both wrestling and wrestling figures.
Oh, it was funny. I do have to say this. So when Moxley walked down the ramp, I heard this clamoring of feet just like right beside me. And I looked, and I was like, I saw somebody and all the security go by me. And I'm like, ooh, is that CM Punk?
Oh.
And then I stood on my tippy toes. And I was like, oh, it's Moxley. Okay, cool. And so, but I will say this. That pop was insane for him.
Hella loud?
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, it's obviously not the loudest pop. I was at WrestleMania 33 when the Hardys came out.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm not going to say it rivaled it. That pop is on a whole different level of the Hardys. This one was loud, dude. I was like, holy crap. This is one of the loudest pops I've heard Dean Ambrose get in a long time.
Yeah, that was another one that a lot of people said we saw it coming, but it still didn't change that it was cool. And it was shocking, and it was their big surprise moment. But great show. I'm glad you got to go. You got some killer autographs out of the deal. You even hooked up Travis Fowler with a Haku autograph that got cleaned up. Good stuff, dude. What a trip.
It was fun, dude. It was only a day. It was only 24 hours that I was in Vegas, but I loved it. It was the very first time I ever went to Vegas and didn't gamble.
What? Wow, not $1? Nothing?
No, dude. I didn't stop off at a slot machine. I mean, literally, it was go from the second I touched down. But you know what? I loved it. I had a great time. I had a great time meeting people. Ray was awesome. Just being around James and Shannon. I got to meet the great Jason Wolf.
Yes, and thank you for FaceTiming me. And I mean it this time. Thank you for FaceTiming me.
Well, I finally learned how to use FaceTime.
Yeah, it's only 2019. That's okay. The point is, you did it. I appreciated it. It was great to finally see and talk to Jason Wolf. I've literally only ever typed to him over DMs on Twitter. That's the only communication we've had. So it was great to finally have a face-to-face. Yes, it was through FaceTime, but still, it was a face-to-face with Wolf. And what an awesome dude. What an awesome dude. Of course, I'm going to plug him later in the show, but man, he's a great guy, man. Jason Wolf is awesome.
He really was, dude. And it was funny, too, because we were waiting at Steak and Shake. We were waiting for Jason. And I was talking to Celeste because Celeste wasn't feeling good. And all of a sudden, she kind of pointed behind me, and I looked, and it was Jason Wolf. And he goes, we're past handshakes. This is all about hugs now. And he like gave me a big hug.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was great, dude. I was like, is somebody cutting onions?
You're like, I can't handle anymore.
So anyways, we went to dinner with him, James, Shannon, and a couple of their friends and had a great time. It was fun, dude. It was a lot of fun. Came back late Sunday. I would do it again. It was so much fun. And I hope to do it again. I know people are asking if we're going to All Out. Celeste and I are having that debate right now. We don't know what we're going to do about All Out. So,
okay. So it's on the table. It's being discussed.
Her and I are going back and forth regarding it because we're both kind of like, we want to go. Like you guys know us, we'll travel to wrestling shows, but then we kind of have to think, okay, maybe we need to slow down on vacations and stuff like that because it does get expensive with rental cars, hotels, airfare, everything. So it's being discussed right now.
Nice. But you have to look at it too that, yeah, you're spending a lot of money, but look at the memories and stuff that you come back with. So it's definitely a give and take. You just got to throw it on the scale and see where it all lands.
100%. So anyways, that was StarCast, dude.
Nice. Sounds like a blast, man. I wish I could have gone.
Absolutely. And also, James Frank at Jimbo in the Booth has green card 123 Kid Hasbro pins. So for all you pinheads out there, James has a green card with the 123 Kid almost taking his photo from, actually, I think it is the photo from the green card and put on this pin backing with the pin being the 123 Kid Hasbro. Hit up James if you want that at Jimbo in the Booth. Scott, you have one coming to you on Saturday. I will be giving that to you.
Ah, so that's what James has been DMing me about. He was asking if I had seen you yet. And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, I gave Jeff something for you. And I was like, oh, sweet. So right on, dude. That's awesome. So wait, the card back of the pin is actually his card from the green, or is his green card?
Yep.
So no eyebrows, or did they Photoshop eyebrows onto him?
No eyebrows.
Excellent. I love it. Keeping it authentic.
So anyways, if you guys want one, it is at Jimbo in the Booth. Hit him up. He will get you a pin, discuss all the details and everything. So hit up James for that. Scott, after all that, our first segment went like 40 minutes, dude.
Well, we didn't have any news.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it's nostalgia's turn. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. Scott, Jack's BCA Series 8 and Series 9. Go.
Go. Yes, sir. Jack's BCA Series 8, also known as Team Corporate, because pretty much all these guys were in the corporation. came in King of the Ring packaging, so it was pay-per-view specific, and Series 8 consisted of Shawn Michaels, and he was in his commissioner garb, so basically Commissioner Shawn Michaels, Big Boss Man, and he came with his nightstick, Ken Shamrock, who was in his wrestling gear, The Rock, who was in pants, not wrestling gear, Shane McMahon, who was in a suit, and Kane, who was in his traditional Kane gear. And Shawn Michaels also came with a hat. And that rounds out Series 8, Team Corporate in King of the Ring packaging. And Jeff, I wish I had a great story to share, like I did last week about Series 8. But basically, I found the whole set at KB and bought it. Not super exciting.
You bought the whole set?
I did, dude. It was wrestling figures. I had to buy all of them. Like, that was back when I had disposable income and I didn't care and I'd find an entire series, I'd just buy it. And yes, I bought all of every one, series one through series nine, just bought them all. Didn't care.
Why don't you jump into series nine?
So series nine, Jack's BCA, they had SummerSlam 99 packaging. So again, pay-per-view specific. And series nine consisted of The Big Show. And he was in his, I guess it was his debut gear from when he ripped up from underneath the ring and he had the shirt and the pants. So this was Big Show, not in his, either his trunks or his singlet. It was him in basically clothes. Bob Holly, and he was in trunks and a black tank top. Christian, and he was in his pants and the blousy white shirt. Gangrel, same deal. Undertaker, and he had a removable cloth robe. And incredibly hulking Vince McMahon, and he came in a suit that made him look basically like Vince McMahon the Hulk. He was a huge figure.
There's no words to express how bad that was. It was a gray suit, but it made him look like six times his size.
Yeah, like somebody had blown it up like it was an inflatable suit. Yeah, it was like super bold. Like Shane in Series 8 was in a suit. They pulled that one off just fine. But this Vince was just like hilariously bulked up.
The one that makes me laugh is Gangrel. And we've always said we enjoy facial expressions on a figure. But this Gangrel, he looks like a bat mixed with a gargoyle. And he has... dude, what is the face on that one? I was like...
Yeah.
He looks like a gargoyle that's like showing his fangs. It's terrible.
But going back to 99, I didn't care. I was getting my first Gangrel figure. I was super happy about it. I did not care. Same goes for, I mean, gosh, Christian, that was his debut. I believe that was the first Bob Holly. It was the first Big Show. So a lot of first time in the line on that Series 9, and I didn't care. I even appreciated the Big Show. I appreciated how huge he was. It was like they were kind of going for scale a little bit because he was hulking like Vince McMahon was. But I didn't even care, dude. I was just so happy to be getting these figures for the first time. And I would say out of Series 8, man, favorite figure is probably Boss Man. And Series 9, that was not Big Boss Man from like the early 90s. This was like SWAT Team Big Boss Man in all of his black gear. Series 9 favorite figure, eek. That one's rough looking back on it, but I'm probably going to say Christian would have been my favorite. I like the robot Undertaker, though. That was cool.
So I never got any from Series 8, and Series 9, I just got Gangrel and Christian because, well, I was a huge Brood fan. So I've got to be honest, with these Jax BCAs, they underwhelmed me so much that my main focus at this time was Simpsons figures. That was my main focus because the Jax BCAs and all those other off-the-wall lines that Jax was doing at this time just underwhelmed me. And I don't know, you go from Hasbro to this and you're just like shaking your head. And, you know, you go from these beautiful Hasbros to Jax and you just, I don't know, I can't express like the disappointment that these BCAs brought me. It was cool we were getting wrestling figures and it was cool we were getting new guys, like we got Edge and we got Christian and Gangrel, but it was, I don't want to say it was a reluctant buy, but it was like, oh, cool, we got Gangrel, so I guess I'm going to get Gangrel now. KB just red-penned it down to $5.99, so I'll pick up Gangrel. I don't know, the BCAs just were so underwhelming. It wasn't until they developed the face scan technology.
Which, by the way, that was right around the corner from these coming out.
Exactly, and that's when everything took off. That's when everything was like, okay, these are the wrestling figures we've been wanting for the past 4 years.
It was a game changer for Jax, absolutely.
So, I mean, yeah, I was still collecting, but it wasn't as heavy as it was in the past. Plus, we were dealing with Toy Biz, And I wasn't a fan of the Toy Biz figure. So this was kind of a, I don't want to say a dark period of wrestling figures in my eyes, but it was an underwhelming period in my eyes of what we were getting for as far as wrestling figures. Now, we were getting ECW, and I was excited about ECW figures, and I was picking up those. So that kind of helped push me to get more wrestling figures. But at the same time, I was more focused on The Simpsons because I was so underwhelmed by everything that Jax was putting out.
Yeah, and The Simpsons were definitely having some excellent figures put out by Playmates. And I can see where you're coming from, Jeff, because it's a pretty split crowd on BCAs, right? Like, the guys that grew up with them, like, these were what they played with, like we played with LJNs and to an extent the Hasbros. This is their favorite. And I can appreciate that, and you can appreciate that, because that's what you grew up with. That's your nostalgia. Like, that's your quote-unquote jam. Like, that's your stuff. Just like for us, we grew up playing with the LJNs and the Hasbros, so that's our jam, like that's our stuff. So I can appreciate both sides of it. I collected them because they were wrestling figures and I had to have them, but you bring up an excellent point that we were getting really, really saturated with a lot of different lines from Jax, and they were getting into the Titantron Live around this time, and we were literally right around the corner from that real scan technology that you brought up, Jeff, that was a huge, huge game changer for Jax. You compare their BCA line to the stuff that came out with the real scan technology, you're talking apples and oranges. Yeah, they're wrestling figures, but they are on completely different levels. So this was kind of like, in my opinion, kind of a last hurrah for the BCA line, because the real scan technology was right around the corner, and that's when they really kicked it into gear. And also, this was maybe 3 years away from Classic Superstars. It was about 3 years away from the Ruthless Aggression line that was a game changer for them as well. So this is kind of the end of that BCA era. And now Jax is really looking to turn that corner and put out some real quality product. Not to say that the BCAs weren't quality, Jeff, but from your point of view, coming from LJN and Hasbro and then having BCA, instead of the first figures you got were BCA, there was some heavy comparison going on. And that's really where your opinion comes from. But again, to those guys that were collecting BCAs and you grew up with these and this is what you played with, we understand the passion and we love it.
And I know a lot of people will be like, oh, wait a second, you played with Remcos, where those guys' quads were the size of Earl Campbell from the Houston Oilers back in the 70s, you know?
Yes.
But there was something, at least the Remcos, even though they all had basically the same bodies aside from Abdullah the Butcher and...
Well, Jimmy Garvin had a flabby body. Terry Gordy had a flabby body. They came in variants, but yeah, they had a flabby body and a muscular body. They were essentially He-Man figures.
Exactly. But at the same time, like, the Remcos were still had this, and maybe this also will have nostalgia to it, but these Remcos had some beauty to them with the outfits and all that stuff. And the Remcos were what they were. But as we progressed through time, we got these beautiful LJN was still killing it. We got these beautiful Hasbros, even though SFTMs, I loved them. Oh, and Galoobs too. We started to get these better figures. And then it was almost like we hit a dark period with Toy Biz, and we hit a dark period with even OSFTM putting out vibrating figures. I'll even throw it back on them.
Yes, they did do that.
But then we also had the Jax BCAs in so many different lines. And
don't forget the Just Toys Bendems too. Those are still floating around out there too.
This was kind of, as I said, if it wasn't for ECW, would have been an extremely dark period of wrestling figures for me. As I've grown older, the BCAs, I can look at them and go, okay, yeah, that was kind of cool. The Brett was kind of cool. Okay, I see what you mean. I see what people see in it now. But like, I look back at that Gangrel and I'm like, ugh, looks like Bat Boy, you know, from the Sun magazine. I'm like, it's terrible. But in a few years, it started to kick out of it thanks to real scan technology.
Yeah, that really was the game changer for Jax. And I'm kind of curious, for those that grew up with the BCAs, like those were what you played with growing up, was it a huge transition going from the BCA to the Titantron Live and or the real scan figures? And later on, Ruthless Aggression and Classic Superstars, did you kind of stop playing with your BCAs because there was better product? Or did you have that emotional attachment to the BCAs to where no matter what better product, better looking, I would say, coming out from Jax, you still had that emotional attachment to, say, like your Series 4 bad boy Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he was constantly whooping ass, you know, winning all your matches. Did you have emotional ties to your BCA when you were playing with them versus later on with like your Ruthless Aggression, Classic Superstars, and Titantron Live figures? Just because I had stopped playing with figures years before, but I'm kind of curious to the kids that were playing with them at the time, was there still that attachment?
And I actually wonder, for a lot of people, do you guys still have that nostalgia feeling when you hold a BCA? Like when I hold an LJN, the nostalgia that just hits me, the wave of memories just hits me. Do you guys still have that with the BCAs, or do you look at them and go, they weren't that great? You know, or are you guys lukewarm on it? Like I hold an LJN and I'm just like, oh, the memories of these, you know, we talked about it with our parents. Just the memories of happiness just comes flooding back, sitting there on a summer night and playing with figures for 2.5 hours. And it just hits me. I wonder if the people that grew up with the BCA have that same type of feeling.
I would say yes. That emotional tie to what you grew up playing with, I don't think that ever goes away. I'm sure that some kid that grew up with those today could pick up that BCA figure from their childhood and be like, oh man, I had so many great matches with this figure, and that emotional bond to that particular toy or that particular toy line comes rushing back. And you see it now all the time on Twitter, people going back and collecting BCA. Good Brother Mike, for example, just went and collected a whole bunch of BCAs, bought them in one big lot. Looks fantastic. So I don't think that emotional bond to what you grew up with ever really goes away. So again, we grew up with LJN and Hasbro. That was our jam. And we get the emotional attachment to the BCAs while we're sometimes critical of the line. Like, we get the emotional attachment to that line for the kids that grew up with it and played with it. We completely get that.
So, Scott, that rounds out BCA Series 8 and Series 9. Scott, we got a couple of listener questions that we need to get into. So what you say?
Let's talk to them.
Scott, we'll get into a couple listener questions this week. First one comes in from Christopher. It says, hi, good brothers. With the new SummerSlam Elites out, it got me to thinking about and all SummerSlam line. It will be 2-pack Elites and 1-pack Elites and 1 exclusive. Ultimate Warrior SummerSlam 91. Undertaker versus Undertaker SummerSlam 94 2-pack. Jerry the King Lawler SummerSlam 93. Brock versus Rock SummerSlam 2-pack. Triple H SummerSlam 98. HBK SummerSlam 02. Zeus SummerSlam 89, Macho Man and Elizabeth SummerSlam 91 2-pack, and Dudley Boys versus Edge and Christian versus Hardy SummerSlam 2000 6-pack exclusive. Who can we throw in for an elite?
Man, how about the Brainbusters? We need a Brainbusters 2-pack.
We also need a Demolition 2-pack.
Ooh, yeah, we do. Good call on that one, dude. And you know what? We're kind of due for another Rockers 2-pack, too.
You would think.
Yeah, that original one that they put out on Maddie Collector still gets quite a bit of coin. But you know what, though, dude? Overall, I think the number one tag team I would love to have most, the British Bulldogs.
Oh, you know it.
That would have to be the Elite. If I could only pick one tag team, I think that would be it. I'd love to have a Mega Powers 2-pack. I think that would be fantastic. An Elizabeth from the Mega Powers team. The manager, I would love to have an Elizabeth single carded.
Who else could we do?
We got the Seth in all white. That's a great SummerSlam figure.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite Seths. If it wasn't for that Money in the Bank, it would be that one as my favorite.
Agree.
Maybe a proper Lex Luger in American attire. I know we got the Elite, but he had the mullet. Luger didn't have the mullet when he was in the American outfit, right?
Yeah, that's a great point, dude. I think Jack's Deluxe Classic is the only one so far that's gotten American Luger right.
Didn't he come with the big gold belt with that one, though?
See? Okay, you're right. They screwed him up.
Yeah, it always seems like they screw up the American Lex.
Yeah, good point, dude. There you go. Bingo. We need an American Lex Luger that's accurate.
Yes, because the Elite came with that big old barbell.
Yes.
But he had a mullet, but Luger never had a mullet when he was doing the American Lex gimmick.
Correct. American Lex Luger never had the mullet. But you know what? They could, instead of trying to package him with a belt or something stupid, put balloons in with him.
No, put in the Lex Express.
Yeah, the whole bus. Just throw it in.
I remember that the whole thing was built up and he was on tour for the Lex Express, and Yeah, they need to make the Lex Express.
I remember working that day and being really excited to get home to watch SummerSlam. And I was like, there's no way they're going to make Lex Luger lose. Like, they've done a whole thing. He slammed Yokozuna on a freaking aircraft carrier. There's no way they're going to have this dude tour the country in a bus or the Lex Express and have him lose at SummerSlam. And I was right. He didn't lose, but he won by count out. And you're going, what? What are they making the guy wait till WrestleMania? Nope, they're just never going to put the title on him.
The funny thing was is they celebrated like he won the title.
Yeah, guys were putting him on their shoulders like, he didn't really win. You know he's not holding the title, right? What's this celebration about? It was like they were celebrating a participation trophy. It was ridiculous. But yes, I like your idea. Do we need a good American Lex Luger? What we should have gotten from Hasbro, let's say that.
You know what? I was actually so excited when him and Davey were teaming up.
The Allied Powers.
Yep. I was like, man, this team is going to be awesome. This team is going to be like one of the most BA teams, one of the most badass teams. And Luger, they had that for 2-3 months, maybe?
Yep.
2 months?
Yep.
And then Luger went back to WCW and that was it.
Yeah, that was it. Done.
Thank you, Christopher, for sending in your email. Scott, next email comes in from AJ. Hey, this is at Big Mouth AJ. I'm a new listener to the show and I absolutely love it. My question is, when the first Mattel Jeff Hardy finally came out, in your opinion, did it live up to the hype? Did it live up to the hype? Well, they had Jeff Hardy slotted in for Elite Series 1, but it never came out in the series. People got their hands on it thanks to the factory releasing a few somehow, some way. There was a mole on the inside.
Yeah, dude in LA has one.
But it's always never for sale. He just gets it for people to come up and see his booth.
Yeah, I wonder how many times somebody's walked up and been like, hey, how much for the Jeff Hardy? You know what? If you have to ask, sir, you can't afford it.
Dude, it's daily with that one.
It's every show. He should just put up a sign. Don't ask.
So technically, the first one would be the entrance. Great. Did it live up to the hype? I would say yeah.
Has there really been a bad Jeff Hardy from Mattel at all, though?
Yes, the one that came with Edge.
Okay, yes. Yes, you're right. That's a bad Jeff Hardy. But in terms of like the elite Jeff Hardys or the entrance great that was Elite One, I would say no, there have not. Like basics aside, battle packs aside, because yeah, that battle pack is crap. I hate that figure. But I don't think that there's been a bad Jeff Hardy yet.
No, there hasn't. Jeff Hardy is one of those guys that's always had a good figure outside of that basic. But from Jax to now, he's more times than not going to have a good figure. So whenever they announce Jeff Hardy, you're always like, oh, cool. I'm going to get a Jeff Hardy figure. Sweet.
Yeah, AJ, I hope that answered your question. I hope that that's the Jeff Hardy you were referring to, is the one that was supposed to be an Elite One that became the entrance great later. If that's the one you're referring to, yes. I think it absolutely lived up to the hype. I think that they tweaked a couple of things on it. But overall, I think that that figure is great. You can't find that thing anymore. Honestly, I never even saw that thing on a shelf. I did not see one Jeff Hardy on the shelf at all.
I actually found it at San Leandro Walmart.
Oh, you did good.
I found it at San Leandro Walmart before I went to work. And I walked in and I was like, oh, whoa. I was actually shocked that San Leandro Walmart got some new stock in. You know?
Yeah, you're like, hey, it's not a top pick. All right.
And so I picked it up. Actually, I picked two up that day and walked out. And I think they had one more left. So I picked two up that day, but I was kind of shocked also. I was like, whoa, 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 what?
Okay.
You know, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, you did good. But yeah, AJ, to answer your question, I do believe that it lived up to the hype. Everybody had waited so long for that version of Jeff Hardy. I thought the figure was fantastic.
And also, it played his old school music, not his typical Hardy's theme that, dun, 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 you know, it didn't do that. It played his old school theme when he was a singles wrestler. So I thought that was also cool.
Could you sing his song a little bit more?
No, I'm terrible.
Okay. Darn it.
I'll leave it to the professionals who do photography.
Thank you.
Scott, we are going to jump into who did it better. So what do you say we jump into that?
Let's do it. Glorious. No,
Scott, this week we are doing Who Did It Better, and who did we choose this week?
This week, Jeff, we are choosing the most successful member of the Rockers, or as some might know them as the Midnight Rockers, Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, that guy was good, man.
All of his heavyweight title runs. I mean, you talk about somebody that's decorated in the wrestling business, Mr. Titles himself, Marty Jannetty.
Did you say title?
Good catch.
I'm joking. He won multiple titles.
He did. And yes, the subject of who did it better this week. Okay, I was kidding about the most successful member of the Rockers. We all know it was Al Snow. Tonight, we discuss who did the best Marty Jannetty figure of all time. So usually when we do this one, Jeff, we'll go over the history of all of the Marty Jannetty figures, and then you and I throw it to a vote of who did it best, who did it better. So backtracking on Marty Jannetty, he did have a Remco figure, and he was in his black tights on this one, and he came with a shirt and sunglasses accessory. Next up, he was done twice in the Hasbro line, once as a member of the tag team The Rockers, with his partner, the name's on the tip of my tongue.
Hickenbottom?
Stan something.
Samsonite.
Samsonite. Mary Swanson. And then he was done for his singles run, where he did win the Intercontinental title from that guy. I can't remember his name. It's driving me nuts.
Diesel. Kevin Nash.
No, that was the guy's bodyguard, though. What was the guy he was protecting? What's his name?
Max Moon. The Goon. The Yeti. Arachnaman.
Duke the Dubster. All right, the game's over. Of course, it's Shawn Michaels. He was done from his singles run, and he was in his blue tights on that one with white boots. Then we did not get a Marty Jannetty figure until the Rockers 2-pack in the Jax Classic Superstars line. We got nothing from OSFTM, obviously, because he wasn't in ECW or WCW. We didn't get a Toy Biz. We never got a Just Toys Bendem. Jax didn't release any Marty figures at all up until, I believe it was in 2003, when that set of 2-packs came out. It was the Hart Foundation, Legion of Doom, and the Rockers. And that's when we got our first Marty figure in almost 10 years. And he was in his green outfit on that one. One thing I didn't like was the shirts, but aside from that, good figure. And then, Jeff, we did not get another Marty figure. Well, no, I take that back. We did. We got one more Marty in the Jax Classic line. He came in a 3-pack with Jim Neidhart and Tito Santana. So that was basically the less successful member of a famous tag team set. We got Tito. More successful member would have been Rick Martel. We got Jim Neidhart. More successful member would have been Bret Hart. And we got Marty Jannetty. We all know who the more successful member of that team was. And I'm not talking about Al Snow. And then we did not get another Marty Jannetty figure, Jeff, until the Mattel Rockers 2-pack. And that pretty much rounds out Marty Jannetty. He hasn't had a ton of figures.
Before we go into deciding who did it better, I do have a funny story regarding that 3-pack. I actually really wanted it and went to Walmart one night. I think it was a Sunday night after we went to dinner with you. I want to say I was with my ex-wife and you were... I can't remember if you guys came along, but I finally found that 3-pack. I could never find it around at our Walmart. So I picked it up and the card was mangled.
Oh no. And they only had one?
They only had one. The star, the Classic Superstars star was bent to, you know what?
Oh no.
The corners were bent. If you looked at the back of the card, you could see the creases.
Oh.
And I was like, nah, I'm not gonna get this. Never found it again.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. I've seen it at toy shows, but it always seems like they're asking too much for it. But I actually wanted it because of the Tito Santana. And, you know, Tito came... There was a couple of IC titles in there, I believe. Jim had a good outfit going on. The gear was spot on. And I really love that 3-pack. Now, I think it's about $50, $55 on eBay. And it's not something I'm desiring to get right now. If I find it for cheaper than $50, I'll probably jump on it. But that was one that I really, really wanted, and I found it, and it was mangled.
And that was the one thing on the Classic Superstars cards is you always looked at the points on the star, dead center, top of the package, and if those things were bent, it was a killer.
Absolutely. So, Scott, Remco, Hasbro, Jax, Mattel, who did Marty Jannetty better?
I've got to say, and this one is not my favorite, but I am very partial to the Remco. I think overall that's a good Marty figure. The hair could be a little bit longer on it, but due to sculpting limitations of the Remco line, I understand why they did what they did. That's the knock that makes it not my favorite. My favorite Marty Jannetty is the Classic Superstars 2-pack with Shawn Michaels. I think that's the best representation of Marty Jannetty that's been done so far.
You're going with that one, huh?
Yes, that is my favorite Marty Jannetty. I like that one better than the Mattel. And Marty's another one, like we mentioned, he hasn't had many figures. So I'm hoping that Mattel takes more stabs at him. I wouldn't even mind if they did a Marty that matches the Shawn Michaels from the Retrofest line. Just give us something. Give us the best Marty that's been done. Because they've been good, but not great. I like the Hasbro heads. Those are pretty cool. But the second one, just the face is washed out on it. It doesn't do a lot for me. The face on the two-pack with Shawn Michaels pops a lot more in that Hasbro line. So overall, based on that short, the short presentation of Marty figures that are out there, I have to go with that Jax Classic Superstars 2-pack.
So my favorite Marty was the second Hasbro from his singles run.
The one I just knocked.
Up until Soda Hunter, thank you, Soda Hunter, ruined it for me. He said it looked like a certain Garbage Pail Kid from a Garbage Pail Kid movie.
Oh.
He did the side-by-side, and I'm like, you just ruined it. This was my favorite Marty figure up until now. So I'm actually going to go with the first Rockers 2-pack from the Jax Classic.
You're kidding. I didn't think that you liked that one.
I did. I wish I would get that autographed. I had the opportunity at WrestleCon this past year, and I passed it up because I was trying to save some bit of money. But yeah, it was the singles run Hasbro up until Soda Hunter did the side-by-side. And I'm like, damn it, he just ruined it for me. That's not my favorite Marty one now. So my favorite one is the Jax Classic.
I think if there was a head swap done from the first Marty Jannetty Hasbro to the second Marty Jannetty Hasbro, I prefer the head on the first one. But the body style, obviously because they changed the action on the figure, the body style on that second Marty is awesome. I love the tights. I love the boots. I love it was almost like Rick Martel, the action that Rick Martel has. If a head swap was done, that second Marty would be my favorite figure. But they kind of washed out the face on it. There's not a lot to it. And I just think the first one is better. So because it's missing that one part, that's why I got to go Classic Superstars 2-pack.
Well, what happened was is if you look at the two Marty heads on the Hasbro and on the singles run Hasbro, they took away the white in the teeth. And his maybe because the teeth are wiped out, but it didn't look like his smile was as full
right
as the Rockers one. So that seemed to be the big difference. I agree with you. If they would have done this same exact head, it probably would have been better.
Yeah, that would be my favorite Marty figure if that was the case.
That rounds out Marty Jannetty. I always was partial to Marty. I loved Marty.
I was too. I loved when he came back and won the IC title from Shawn Michaels. I thought that was going to be a great story moving forward. He just couldn't keep it together and was in and out of wrestling over the next decade, 15 years, whatever, for whatever reason. And it really sucks, man. It's almost like wasted talent. But he had a great run in the AWA as part of the Midnight Rockers. That's where I fell in love with that team. I was super excited when they came to WWF. I thought that there was no doubt they were going to win the tag titles, which they did, technically, and then it was called back. But a phenomenal talent, and it's unfortunate everything that went down. If you had to pick a second favorite figure, Jeff, which one would it be?
I'm partial to the Remco. It's either the Remco or the Mattel Legends.
Okay. For me, it would be a tie between the Remco and the 3-pack Marty that came with Jim Neidhart and Tito Santana. That Marty's really well done too. I like his gear on that one.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like the Rockers 2-pack as well. I think that they got Shawn Michaels a little bit better than they did Marty Jannetty, but I would love to see Mattel take another stab at Marty Jannetty. Like, give us the perfect Marty figure, because I don't feel that there's been one yet. There's been good. Like you mentioned, the Hasbro's good. I think Remco, to an extent, for what they could do, is really good. But I would love to see the perfect Marty figure where you look at it, you go, yes, they finally captured Marty. So, to kind of sum up this episode, we need an American Lex Luger with proper hair and some confetti and balloons and the Lex Express. And we need a good Marty Jannetty figure.
Bingo.
That's your summary.
The show's name's going to be called Redo.
Yes, exactly.
Fully Posable's Redo.
Yes. Revenge of Marty Jannetty.
Scott, that rounds out episode 176. And in closing, also, yesterday, Wrestling Toy Tracker unveiled their LJN Superstars line on their site, where they are taking the difference between carded and LJN loose figures and the prices that they are doing for them. So check them out. If you guys are into the LJNs, check out the carded, how much the average price goes for on those, and also the loose. It's at @toy_tracker on Twitter, and give that a look. Scott, to our podcast buddies, Breaker and Bane, excellent show. Love tagging up with them on the weekends, on Sundays especially. Rant with Ant, his last show will be next Saturday, June 8th. Give it a listen. Ant, we're thinking of you, man. We know you're happy. Steve over at the PPW podcast, thank you for everything you do. The Doing the Favor guys, Eric and Barry, you guys are great. Keep doing you, booze.
And they're hilarious, too.
Oh, they're fantastic. They've got a show that drops Doing the Favor. Absolutely check out Marty and Sarah every Thursday, and Jeff over at Not Your Mama's Soap Opera podcast. All those guys, great people. Top Rope Nation also, great people. Go give them a listen. Also, I want to thank Michael over at Eagle Moss. He sent over those AJ figures. You guys saw the London pictures that went up. I retweeted them. Those statues or desk displays look fantastic. Please sign up with them. They look great. You guys will not be disappointed. You guys will love putting them standing up on your shelves, on a loose shelf or whatever it is. And if you subscribe, you also get the ring too. So that's just a bonus. So also, we have shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees and What a Maneuver Not Yet. Pick any of those up. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on FullyPosablePodcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Thank you, Dr. Nick, for sending in that iTunes review. That means a lot. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. Scott, who you got on roll call this week?
On roll call, of course, leading off, the amazing Jason Wolf. If you need artwork, he's your guy. Jeff, you finally got to meet him in Vegas this past weekend. Thank you so much for getting me on FaceTime. It was great to have a face-to-face and just thank him for everything he's done for our show. You guys need to go support him. He does great artwork. Again, if you need artwork, Jason Wolf is your guy. Next up, Jeff, at Pollyanna DIY. If you need pins, Jacob is your man. Hit him up at Pollyanna DIY. He has some great LJN looking pins, Hasbro looking pins. He's an amazing artist as well. Definitely go check out at Pollyanna DIY. And next up, Jeff, your favorite, Figure Photography. First up this week, we have V Trigger Figs, and you can give him a follow at V, as in Victor, Trigger Figs. Next up, Hans Carpenter. And you can give him a follow on Twitter at the H.A. Carpenter. And last but certainly not least this week, Jeff, Jarrell's Collection. And you can give him a follow on Twitter at Jarrell. That's J-E-R-E-L Collection. And that rounds out roll call, sir.
Scott, we are going to have a good toy spotting discussion next week as we are going to San Jose Toy Show.
Yeah, I have a good feeling about that show, dude. I think we're going to bring it strong on toy spotting next week.
So, Scott, for episode 176, anything else?
Yes, normally I throw it out, happy toy hunting. So to everyone, happy toy hunting, but also Fig Life since 2016.
This Fig Life means the world to us. So, you know, keep it going, keep it positive. You guys have been doing great. Let's turn this thing around. We've had some we hit a little snafu, so let's get this thing back on track. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Yeah. Fully Posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, M.O.C. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.